Al Horford, 2 for 2, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Kyrie Irving dribbles away from Wes Matthews, steps into the paint, scoops it off the window and in. He got to the cup and finished with 0.5 seconds remaining.
You can dance, you can scream, but give me some damn ice cream.
Everybody was waiting for somebody to rotate. It seemed inconceivable that Kyrie could get to the rim from where he was without anybody impeding his path. But he was able, once he dribbled along the sideline free, Turner hedged, never got back. Thaddeus Young jumped away from him and opened up the lane for Kyrie to get to the bucket.
It was definitely a great, you know, kind of like Kyrie fill-out game, if you want to call it, for the playoffs. You know, home court advantage was at stake. And we, I know we see him again one more time. So, you know, we'll see how it goes and just keep on getting better for the rest of the regular season.
That's a call of Kyrie Irving closing it out last night. The Celtics got a big one over the Pacers at home. 104-112 is the final. Fun finish. That fourth quarter was awesome, especially from, like, you know, the 10-minute mark on. That circus three from Marcus Smart.
He just flung it at the hoop. I mean, that was a heave.
Did you hear Tommy Heinsohn's reaction?
Oh, it's amazing. It sounded like he was going to fall out of his chair.
I was worried for Tommy during that game. Like, some of the non-foul calls, I was like, Tommy, take it easy. Like, don't have a coronary. A
lot of those. And then when it wrapped up, he's like, boy, the Pacers really play a tough game. Like, it's like, we understand where your heart lies, Tommy.
Yeah, I was getting concerned for him, seriously. Like, some of those non-calls, this is not good. Like, just calm down a little bit. Like,
but a big win for them, and necessary now that they're tied in the 4 seed with Indiana. This is a virtual lock that they're going to be getting them in the first round, unless the 76ers somehow, you know, blow it here in the end, which at this point I don't really see happening. But obviously, home court is still in play. And I think from the playoff feel from last night, I think one of the things we're guaranteed of is this is going to be a pretty entertaining series, no matter where the hell the thing is played.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, I think, again, you know, when you look at how these teams match up, I think the Pacers are a great opponent for the Celtics because they have some of the attributes that Brad Stevens wants this Celtics team to have. And he can sort of point to these guys and say, this is what we need to be. And also, they're capable, I think, of pushing the Celtics in a lot of ways that they need to be pushed. But at the end of the day, I don't think they have the talent to really hurt the Celtics, to beat them. You know, they can push them to 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
But I don't see them being able to beat them without Oladipo in a series. And that's ideal for the Celtics. You want to be pushed. You want to feel like you had to overcome some adversity, had to overcome some sort of obstacle. But you don't want so much adversity that you can't overcome it, that it knocks you out of the playoffs.
So while a good win, there's still red flags when you look at the Celtics. And more than anything else, you think it's about the defense, because the pick and roll defense continues to be pretty much garbage. And it has been for a while.
Yeah, just again, I mean, the amount of points you're giving up, and when you look at their inability to sort of clamp down at key moments in games or late in games and get stops, and also just rotations. One of the things I thought the Pacers were able to do in that game, I thought the Pacers were really patient. Now, the Pacers are not a team that plays with tremendous pace. They are a deliberate team. But they were patient, and they would move the ball, and they'd get good shots and then a better shot. That was like a layup at the rim. I mean, even the one that Thaddeus Young missed, they moved the ball around, and it's like, okay, this is a layup. Like, he could have dunked that basketball. He should have dunked that basketball. And so that's, to me, is still one of the weaknesses of the Celtics. Like, their defense just isn't tight enough. Even with Baines and Horford in there, and it was much better because those guys can cover up for the mistakes of guys on the perimeter. But still, the communication, the rotations, they're not up to the standard that they've been in the past with the Celtics.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we worked the game last night. They continue to give up runs. You know, 10-0 runs, or they get a lead, and then it's a 12-0 run here. I mean, how many times do you look up, they have a lead, and then the team ties it right away? That's their issue. And I don't think that will work in the playoffs against, you know, maybe they'll work against Indiana when you have the talent. It won't work going on. But you mentioned Baines. He had a double-double last night, 13 points, 13 rebounds. Look at Miles Turner's night. Most of his points were from the outside.
Yeah.
So he really couldn't do much at all. And then just one thing that truly stood out to me last night, they went to Morris a lot, and I think he's truly declined. Jaylen Brown, he just disappeared. Had a really good game last night, but they do not trust him. It's Stevens does not trust him late in games, and I feel like he's got to be somebody that's on the floor late. I know the free throws is something to be concerned about, but you know, just I think he has to play late in games, and they just go away from him too much.
Agree completely. He's been better than Morris now going on 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, Morris was a minus 16 last night.
And I just don't understand it. Is it? There's almost part of me that feels like Brad Stevens is afraid to make the switch because he doesn't want to get, like, you know, dressed down. Yeah, he doesn't want to get dressed down by Marcus Morris, which I think
well, remember the Marcus Morris, Jaylen Brown incident earlier in the season?
Yeah.
The defensive incident in Miami. So maybe that's part of the deal that it's, you know.
Because there's no legitimate basketball reasons that you can try to explain to me to not have Jaylen Brown in that starting five taking minutes from Marcus Morris right now. It just doesn't
Well, I mean, you know, look, Marcus Morris obviously wasn't in the starting five last night because, you know, Baines was in there. So they did pull him out, and it just wasn't for Jaylen Brown. I do think if it were me, I'd put Jaylen back in, but I think it's a little bit of a tough sell for Brad. Here's the problem. I think Marcus Morris, that first half of the year, in a way, was almost too much because he played so well and he was so good offensively that I feel like he's kind of forgotten about the other things that they brought him here to do, which was to play defense and rebound. And now it's all about whether his, you know, getting his shots up and whether they're going in or not. And lately they haven't been going in, so he hasn't been giving you much.
What do you think of the path? And Joe, you know what I want to know? Have the odds changed at all? Because now you have Milwaukee dealing with like big injuries lately to Brogdon, who's dealing with the plantar fascia thing, Mirotić with the thumb, and now you have Giannis with the ankle, and it sounds like he's really not going to play the rest of the way here, and I wouldn't blame Milwaukee for sitting him down. But have the odds changed, and what do you both think of the path? Is this, do you still have hope for the Celtics to make a deep run because it would be Indiana and then Milwaukee?
Odds have changed. Bucks are still the favorite, even with all the injuries. Raptors are second, 76ers third, and then Celtics come in at 475, plus 475 right now.
Wow.
So I don't know how the Bucks are still favorite at this point, but yeah, I think it's going to come down to talent in the end. I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, I think the Celtics can beat Milwaukee if it comes down to it. But I don't know. Toronto, I don't think they can beat Kawhi Leonard in Toronto.
Yeah, it's tougher matchup is obviously Toronto, but I still think Milwaukee has played them well. Brogdon's huge because he's a Celtic killer. I mean, he's a guy that always plays well against the Celtic. Chris Middleton is one of those guys too, so when you look at the path, I mean, I certainly don't think it's easy for the Celtics. The Pacers, I think, will be a grind. They'll win. And then if you're getting Milwaukee in the second round and Milwaukee has home court, I mean, that's a tough series. The Celtics could win it, but I mean, I wouldn't favor them in it, depending on what the health status of the Bucks is at that point. And then you're probably getting the Raptors. I mean, that's asking a lot. They have the talent to do it. This is the bed that they've made. You know, now they have to lie in it, but it's certainly not an easy path.
Well, one of the things I agree with that you wrote in your column comparing this team to the 2011 Red Sox in terms of the expectations, the level of talent, and then the disappointment that they've ultimately showed fans throughout their season is if they were to make a deep run, like the Patriots did, because I didn't think the Patriots team was all that great. I didn't give them any kind of a, you know, I figured they'd beat the Chargers and then lose in Kansas City. But what you don't want to hear is that, like what you ended up hearing from Patriots fans, like, see, told you, like, you don't get to do that with the Celtics team.
No, no, because it's on them. And even Brad has said, you know, we deserve to be doubted at this point. We've earned it. Yeah, and this is the way I frame it. Look, I know how it goes around here. I get it. If the team makes a deep playoff run or wins a championship, everybody will forget about the regular season. That's cool. I have no problem with that. But the reality is the regular season is a disappointment. That's a fact. If they win the championship or make it to the finals, it will still be a fact. It will just be a less relevant fact. And so that's the bottom line. I mean, they can still rewrite the ending so they don't go down like the 2011 Red Sox, but regular season to regular season, they're right there.
Let's go to Peter in Jamaica Plain. You're up here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hey, Peter.
Hey guys. I don't want to get too excited about last year. I've been saying for a year and a half, being left off the radio, every time that I think the Celtics are better without Kyrie Irving, this team has constituted. And I just look at it. I've got the box score right in front of me, okay? The best player in the first half is Jason Brown. If anyone watched that game, he was the best player on the floor. And he ends up with 10 shots, probably three in the second half. Gordon Hayward ends up, he was 4-for-7. Jason Tatum was 3-for-4 by the second quarter, 3-for-3 from three. He ends up with 6 shots. And then Terry Rozier ends up with 5 shots. So those were our studs from last.
I mean, Rozier was terrible in this game. I mean, your point is good up until Rozier. He did nothing in this game.
Yes, he did. He had he had 4 assists, 5 assists. Okay.
He didn't make a basket.
I know, but he never does because, listen, every time that guy takes a shot, right, he's saying in his head, Jesus, if I miss this shot, I'm costing myself another $1 million. His stock has gone down so much. There's so much pressure on the kid. But just the two. How about Jason Tatum, okay, getting six shots after being 3 for 4 in the first half with three-pointers. Jaylen Brown, he hit about 7 shots in the first half. He was unstoppable. In the second half, he gets like 3 shots. And Kyrie Irving's getting 22 shots.
So let me ask you, Peter, I actually agree with you a little bit, and I'm not fully onto your Kyrie thing, but one thing that I saw in the fourth quarter, and this is where I think you're right, Kyrie took 8 shots in the fourth quarter, and it was a lot of ISO, and that's not the way the Celtics normally play. So I think there is something to what you're saying. However, when you say Jaylen Brown, how much of that is Kyrie, and how much of that is Brad? Because I think a lot of it is Brad.
It was totally Jaylen Brown in the first half. He was getting the ball. He was going right to the basket. He was flying by guys. He was going to the foul line.
Yeah, but I'm saying his lack of opportunities. You're ascribing that all to Kyrie. How much of that do you think is Brad? Because I think it's more Brad than Kyrie.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, but Peter does. This is where I've come around on Peter's. He does have a little bit of a point. I mean, that fourth quarter, it was 8 shots for Kyrie, and it's a lot of standing around and watching Kyrie do his thing. And that's not the way they play. And I think that's a difficult balancing act for Brad. How much do I let Kyrie do his thing versus, well, we need to do our thing as a team?
Well, and after Kyrie's comments last Saturday in the loss to Charlotte, where he's saying we should have double-teamed
Kemba
Walker. Yeah. That's what every other team does in the league. Not so subtle shot at the coach. And there's been a few this year. I think he's pretty much just giving him a long leash because they want to have him back in the fold. I kind of can't blame him. But, boy, he does not. He could use a lesson in PR, Kyrie Irving.
Like it's always, you always say, it's like that hot guy or girl. Like you're just holding on, just hoping you don't say the wrong thing.
Yeah. He is. Well, the word you keep using is mercurial. He's just one giant pain in the ass, but very talented. And without him, they ultimately don't win that game last night. I believe that. So I think that they are better with Kyrie, despite many of the things that Peter has brought to the table.
And he has some legit points.
He does.
Peter, I mean,
I don't fully
agree with his point, but he's making some legit points on the problem of the team. They have not blended Kyrie in well enough.
Joe brought up Aaron Baines. Big night for him last night. We'll touch on that because I also had an epiphany about Aaron Baines going forward, too. So I want to get to that and a few more of your phone calls here. And when one segment we have remaining here, Sports Hub Celtics show, abbreviated show again, as we have the Bruins playing a matinee against the Florida Panthers over at the Garden. So that's all coming up next here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Chris Casper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, we're going to learn them, they're going to learn us. Both teams are going to make adjustments. There's definitely things we can do better, and they're going to try and change up some stuff as well. So it's playoff basketball. It's fun. There's a good environment out there. It's going to be a good environment at that place. And then we'll probably meet for a few more games. So, you know, it's a whole lot of fun right now. And that's what we play for, is getting ready for this time of year.
All right, so here's my quick epiphany with Aaron Baines. It's stupid, but you hear the music. Anytime I hear Aaron Baines speak, I want it with the music from Mad Max. Because he looks like an extra from Mad Max, the Road Warrior. Sounds like an extra from the Road Warrior. It just plays it up a little bit. Logging a season high 33 minutes. Playoff atmosphere, yeah. We got to play for the precious juice. But big night for him last night, as Joe pointed out in an earlier segment, double-double. And Aaron Baines, even, look, you sit with Felger and Maz, they always scoff like, "Pah, Baines." No, he's a factor. He is important to this team, and he's had kind of an, unfortunately, an injury-riddled season. But in a game last night, especially when you're going up against a big like Miles Turner, it's a big night for him. It shows how important he is to this team.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's definitely a glue guy for this team. There's no question about it. Their defense is better when he's out there, and he brings an edge, sort of a physicality to them that I think that they need. I just worry about, I mean, he's been injury prone. And so if he's going to play basically 33 minutes, which he did last night, like how many times can he do that? Can he do that through an entire playoff run? Because I'm not convinced that he can.
No, me either. That's the concern. Like, you know, it's almost like, you know, Brad Stevens and this team is relying on him a little bit too much.
Yeah, in some ways it's weird. Like, I hate to be like super negative, but isn't it a little bit of an indictment of this team that Aaron Baines is the key?
Yeah, yeah, no, that's one way of looking at it.
Yeah, he's been more important than Gordon Hayward.
He really has. Right now. Yeah. He has. Tom in Danvers with a thought on last night's win over the Pacers. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I honestly don't even think that they're going to get home field, our home court advantage. I could easily see them losing the next three games, and I don't think the Pacers' schedule is that hard. I could easily see them just beating the Celtics out and having home court advantage. Also, we'll see what you guys think.
Well, go ahead, Chris.
No, as you say, I mean, a lot's going to be that game next Friday in Indiana. I think a lot will have to do with that. And the other question I have for you guys is, how many of these games does Kyrie play?
Well, right, because remember, about a week or, yeah, it was heading into the Philadelphia game a week and a half ago. You had Kyrie Irving say, I'm definitely taking games off. So you have a second of a back-to-back tonight in Brooklyn against this frisky Nets team.
He's out tonight.
Is it already been confirmed?
I'm already telling you, he's not playing.
Well, right. Yeah.
Joe's like, forget it.
Game-winning shot yesterday, forget it.
Yeah, and the fact you're in New York, he probably wants to go look at some new property, meet with some people down there, as that's where he's likely going to be playing next summer. I kid, sort of. that's a good question, and I don't know how many of these he's going to play tonight. I'm with Joe. Tonight, though, you can pretty much, it's almost a lock he ain't going to play.
You guys think he won't play?
No, and I think Brooklyn needs this win, too.
They do. They're sort of hanging on. I think they're the 7 seed, but they're hanging on. It's getting tight there with the other teams, 7-8.
617-779-0985 is the phone number and the time remaining. You want to weigh in on anything Celtics-related from last night. What the caller said, though, even if they fall to the 5 again and they don't have home court, like, I think what you saw with Indiana last night, for all their the gutsiness that they play with, and I can see the similarities to the Celtics teams the last couple of years when they haven't had like a true superstar, or when Kyrie went out last year against the Pacers, ironically enough. They just don't have enough talent, I think, to even get over the hump, even if they had home court in that first round.
Yeah, I would still favor the Celtics, but it gets a little dicey when the other team has home court, because a lot of those role guys, they'll play better at home than they will on the road.
We'll go to Paul in Dorchester, who wants to talk about Aaron Baines. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much.
Just with Aaron Baines, I feel like, I agree with you guys are relying on him a little too much. But at the end of the game, those last two possessions, I felt like you kind of felt the deficiencies of having Aaron Baines on the floor, where he had the open three. He passed it up to Marcus Smart, who bailed us out with a Hail Mary three-pointer. And at the pick and roll with Thaddeus Young, he played 33 minutes. It looked like he was gassed. He couldn't even rotate over to Thaddeus Young, who a 6'9 NBA player misses a wide open layup. That really saved us. And again, with Kyrie Irving, I feel like he gets hyped as being a great closer, but he almost shot us out of the game. He was 2 for 7 in the fourth quarter, took two awful shots with a lot of time left in the shot clock. So I feel like, and it looked like he traveled on that game winner. So I don't know, as a Celtics fan, I don't know how I feel great about that win yesterday.
Oh, yeah, no. Paul, and thanks for the call. I mean, look, in terms of the defense, and even where you're, we know what the limitations are of Aaron Baines and some of the other role players on this team. No, there's still red flags with this Celtics team. I'm not going to take the cheese just because they had this game and it felt like a playoff atmosphere and Kyrie had a great shot to finish it, or a great finish, at the rim to finish it. There's still, you'll still see what the problems are with this team.
Yeah, they still have some stuff to work out, but it's better to work that stuff out when you win than when you lose. They needed the win. In soccer terms, they got the result, and that's sort of all that matters. They got the result. They needed the win. They got it.
And on Kyrie, there's an interesting column. If you subscribe to the ESPN paywall there, where they now call it ESPN Plus, that posted today from Andre Snellings, and it's a lot of real detailed offensive real plus minus stats and whatever. But the title of the column is "Buy or Sell: Kemba Walker is a better free agent than Kyrie Irving."
Ooh,
and ultimately, spoiler alert. He makes the case that Walker is actually the better free agent target than Irving this offseason. And here's the meat of it at the end. Walker has been the far healthier of the two, missing only 6 games since the start of the 2015-16 season. Irving, on the other hand, has missed 74 games during that same period. Also sat out last year's playoffs because of a series of injuries.
Yeah.
Walker has much less wear and tear and appears to carry less of an injury risk.
Well, yeah, but like Kyrie said, if you double him, he's useless.
So. that will do it for us here, as we have Bruins, Florida Panthers, matinee game coming at you from TD Garden. I want to thank Tracy Clements for producing the show, Joe Murray alongside as well, and you, Gasper. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, pal.
Actually, see you tonight at dinner with the lady. All right, and talk to you Monday with Felger and Maz at 2 p.m. That's going to do it for us. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers coming at you with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.